You're tuned in to You Better You Bet with Nick Costos and the crew on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
I have to be honest with everybody. Make a confession. Last week on the show, I went on a rant about the people who want to do fantasy football drafts on Labor Day. What the hell's wrong with these people? For members of the sports media, it's different, right? Because it's like the last hurrah before we basically work for 6 months straight. Not a complaint. We love our jobs, or I do at least. Just saying, though, that's it. That's like the last day off, basically. And you want to have a fantasy football draft? Bunch of sick freaks. I have a fantasy football draft on Labor Day. So I'm gonna be one of those morons that'll be drafting on Monday night. And it's actually in my favorite league. So I count me among the idiots. That will be one of, I don't know, like 8 fantasy drafts I'm trying to pare down. And I wonder if other people have this experience as you get a little older. And maybe like you're in your 20s checking out the show, thank you very much. Or whatever, you're in your 30s and maybe you're single or you're married and you don't have a kid. But for me at this stage in my life, 42, married, young kid, like I get invited to join. I'm not trying to make it like I'm Mr. Popularity, but a lot of people probably have this, right? You get invited to join different leagues every year. And I have to say no. And I used to always say yes. More. I've been saying no and downsizing. There's nothing worse, and like I actually don't mean this in jest, than Tuesday night, for me at least. Like, You Better You Bet ends at 7 o'clock Eastern. And I have to spend, like, legitimately at least 30 minutes, especially early in the year, at least 30 minutes, doing waiver claims in, like, 15 different leagues. I can't anymore. I just can't. This is, like, the nitty-gritty and the fun and the not fun of fantasy football, which is my favorite game. Like, love fantasy football. Honestly, I've said this on the show before. Like pretty much just as much as I like betting on the NFL. I love fantasy football. And over the course of the offseason, and especially over the last few weeks, as I've started doing more drafts, especially a lot of drafts, like best ball drafts, which I absolutely love, and they're so much fun. Like, you do slow drafts, and I'm, like, doing an ad for whatever. Just saying, like, I enjoy this stuff. I've really started to develop a list of guys that are my guys for this year. The guys that I gotta have in fantasy football drafts. Now, I don't have to have them. Like, I can get sniped. Someone could take one or multiple of these guys ahead of me. But these are the guys that I really want to exit my drafts with. And I can't give you, like, hey, I want to have Saquon Barkley and Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, it's not, I'd love to have both of those guys. Like, you're going to win your league if you get both of those guys, probably. But you're never going to get those guys. Like, they're going both in the top 5. So the way that I've constructed this is, at different points in your draft, these guys are going to be available, most likely. And if they are, and I'm on the clock, I'm taking them. No questions asked. The first player, and I won't spend too long on this one because I did a whole thing about it last week, and people liked it on social media, is Christian McCaffrey. Where if McCaffrey's going to be healthy this year, and I understand that it's a bit of a concern, wasn't healthy last year. He's also been the only Niners running back that's healthy during training camp, to the point that they had to trade for Brian Robinson. And Kyle Shanahan immediately anointed him as the RB2. Like, we didn't even get, like, we like Brian a lot and we're going to work him in. It was like, no, like, Brian Robinson is just going to be the direct backup to Christian McCaffrey. Like, not great for Isaac Garendo and Jordan James and the rest of the Niners running backs. I love McCaffrey. To the point, just because I really want to put my money where my mouth is, I have been taking McCaffrey in best ball drafts when I've had the 1.01. I've taken him first overall a couple times. Now, you can make the case that Chase should go over him, especially in half PPR, full PPR. Gibbs, Bijan, Saquon, maybe a couple others. McCaffrey's upside is so gigantic, and he has such a track record that I'm looking to take a big swing. And maybe I don't connect. Maybe it's a disaster. But if it hits, man, I feel like I might win. And that's the whole point. I love Christian McCaffrey. Let's talk about some other guys. I have found myself at the end of the first round a couple times. Like, I'm going to have two picks, maybe back-to-back, or two picks and whatever. Like, you have a pick at the end of the first round. The turn, as they call it. There are two receivers in this range that I'm absolutely obsessed with. Drake London and Brian Thomas Jr. I've said this to Femi a couple times off air. I've talked about it with Ken Barkley off air, some other people off air. And when we finalize our award stuff next week when Femi's back on the show from vacation, I'm contemplating betting Drake London Offensive Player of the Year. And I understand that there's a bunch of like barriers there for him not winning. And Caleb McGarry's out for the season, who's the right tackle for the Falcons, but he's really like the left tackle because Michael Penix is a lefty and he protects Penix's blind side. And Storm Norton, the backup left tackle, is out 6 to 8 weeks. And now here's Elijah Wilkerson, the third stringer, is now going to be protecting the blind side of Michael Penix. It's not that I don't care. I care for betting. I don't know if I care for fantasy. Drake London averaged 7 catches and 117 yards per game in Michael Penix's 3 starts at the end of last year. His talent is mouthwatering and overwhelming. I think he's going to be a monster this season. Brian Thomas Jr., as a rookie last year, 6th in the NFL in yards per route run. He's a physical freak, and now he's got Travis Hunter alongside him. I don't know how you don't love Brian Thomas Jr. If I'm at the turn, and McCaffrey's probably gone, and I can get BTJ and Drake London. Now, if you're in a home league and the people in your league are not as, like, it's not like you're grinding best ball, right? You probably want to exit with at least one running back because running backs are going to go earlier in home leagues. But like in sharper leagues, I don't mind a start of London and Brian Thomas Jr. I want to get at least one of them if I'm picking at the end of the first round and maybe pair him with a Derrick Henry or Devon Achane, and like people are a little down on Achane now with the injury, but a running back in one of those receivers or both of those receivers at the end of round one. I actually want to go to Brian Thomas Jr.'s teammate, Travis Hunter. So, best ball drafts, I'm taking Travis Hunter ahead of his ADP. I think he's going to be awesome, and I'm willing to put my money where my mouth is on this opinion on Travis Hunter. I've referenced the opinion that was given out before the draft on this show by my friend Pete Prisco from CBS Sports, who is one of the best, period, when it comes to not just breaking down NFL players, but college players and how they project to the NFL. And I asked Pete on the air, like, what's Travis Hunter's pro player comparison at the receiver position? And Pete's answer was Justin Jefferson. And that doesn't mean that Hunter's going to be Justin Jefferson, who's going to the Hall of Fame if he keeps this up. Like, I'm not saying that's what it's going to be, and Pete's not saying that either. But the point is his ceiling is so impossibly high. And when you pair that and the Hunter's ability in the screen game, and think about Liam Cohen and the way he, like, worked easy buttons into the offense last year for Baker Mayfield in Tampa, how good Tampa's screen game was, and how non-existent it was for Doug Peterson, golf course Doug, and the Jaguars offense last year, and how good the screen game was at Colorado. And I know it's college versus the NFL, but Travis Hunter's a unicorn. Like, he's going to be awesome. So you have the field-stretching freak in BTJ, and you have the short-area killer who can also win down the field in Travis Hunter. It's one of the reasons why I like the Jaguars to win the AFC South at price. Jacksonville's running back room, I want to talk about Bashaal Tuten for a second. Jacksonville's rookie running back. You know, James Gladstone, I got a push notification on my phone, like literally during the show, that Jaguars GM James Gladstone was saying that all three running backs, that's Tuten, Tank Bigsby, and Travis Etienne, they all have a role to play. I think Tuten's going to emerge as the number one running back on this team, and a lot of smart people, including Pete Prisco, who like lived in Jacksonville for a long time, think that that's going to be the case as well. I think Travis Etienne's just a guy. Tank Bigsby was not drafted by this regime. Tuten was. And I don't know if Tuten's going to be a guy that comes in and contributes immediately, like he's going to be a stud right off the bat. Like, it might be Bigsby and Etienne to start the year. So if you do draft Bashaal Tuten, like, be prepared to have him sit on your bench for potentially a month. Maybe sooner, maybe less, we'll see. maybe more. But I love me some Bashal Tootin in fantasy drafts. So I basically like the whole Jaguars offense. I do love Trevor Lawrence. I slightly prefer Michael Penix Jr. as a backup fantasy quarterback. Like if you're not going to get one of the big guys, I like Penix a little bit more than Trevor Lawrence this year in fantasy. I gave you one NFC South receiver in Drake London. Talk about another in Chris Olave. Olave. Cantare. I like Dean Martin. Not as good as Sinatra, but still good. I love Emeka Egbuka as well, but we've talked about Emeka Egbuka, another NFC South receiver. Love Emeka Egbuka. So Chris Olave, I think if you talk to, and I play in leagues with a lot of sharp people, I don't mean that as a brag, not all of them are in the industry, just like friends of mine that love football and fantasy football. And pretty much to a man, they are scared of Chris Olave this year. Scared of the concussions after what we saw last year. And you can understand, right? And they're also scared, and I didn't do this on the show today, I'll do it tomorrow, on the Saints naming Spencer Rattler as the week one quarterback. That's not great. You know who agrees with me? The betting market. Because that was announced, and immediately money came in on the Arizona Cardinals, who are now a 6.5-point favorite on the road in New Orleans in week one. Hope you laid the four when we talked about it like 3 months ago on the show. Chris Olave in preseason and in training camp has been playing some out of the slot in Kellen Moore's offense, with Rashid Shaheed on one outside spot and Brandon Cooks on the other. Do you think that Chris Olave is not going to dominate in the slot? Even if it's Spencer Rattler throwing in the ball or Tyler Shuck, it doesn't matter. Chris Olave is being slept on, and I can understand the reasons why. I'm willing to capitalize on other people being afraid here. Don't be scared. Draft Chris Olave this year in fantasy. I would put Rashee Rice in that same category. Don't be scared. Draft this guy. I said it in the first hour of the show. I understand, like, he suspended the first six games, and that sucks. For fantasy football, it's the best-case scenario. Because if you draft him, like, you know he's out. You can base, like, there's almost no teams are on bye the first 6 weeks. You'll be able to get by, pun intended. It would have been much worse if this was going to be a midseason suspension for Rashee Rice, and you get him for the fantasy playoffs guaranteed, and now, pending health, of course, and you get him extra time to rehab and get better from the injury that cost him last year. Best case scenario. People are going to pass on him because of the suspension. And if you can get him in the fifth round of your draft, even like late fourth, oh baby. Because when he's on the field, he's a beast. And the Chiefs' offensive line's going to be better. I love Rashee Rice. I don't condone what he did off the field, obviously. That's not the point of this. But man, I think that people will be scared of drafting him, and I'm not going to be, and I don't want our listeners and viewers to be scared of drafting Rashee Rice either. Just make sure you've got a plan for those first 6 weeks when he's out. The only other name that would fall under this umbrella of, like, the big-name players would be George Pickens. I was actually having a conversation with someone I think is pretty smart earlier today, who was saying, you think Pickens, like, CeeDee Lamb's going to do really well. What about Pickens? Yeah, like, the Cowboys are going to throw the ball all over the place this year. And Pickens is entering a contract year, and he's awesome when his head's screwed on straight, and he's playing for the money this year. I mean, Pickens, a smash where he's going right now in terms of ADP. Couple under-the-radar guys. A.D. Mitchell of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, I'm possibly falling for it here, and I'm going to get Charlie Brown. Lucy's going to pull the football away on A.D. Mitchell. Because last year in training camp, the reports were A.D. Mitchell is dominant. And then this year in training camp and joint practices, the reports are basically A.D. Mitchell's Jerry Rice. And then he was disappointing when the games actually started. I'm willing to roll the dice on A.D. Mitchell again. Now, I think Daniel Jones stinks, but at least, like, he can support receivers in fantasy. I'm not saying they're going to win games, but I'm willing to roll the dice here on a really talented player in A.D. Mitchell. Did you notice the Seahawks cut Marquez Valdes-Scantling? I did. Do you know what that means? Torrey Horton truthers, stand up. I talked about Torrey Horton right after the NFL draft. Took him in a bunch of dynasty leagues. I think he's going to be Seattle's wide receiver 3 to open the year. And the wide receiver 2 is a guy who I think might be washed and is probably washed in Cooper Kupp. And he's going late in drafts. Torrey Horton, I think, has got a chance to way outperform expectation this season. He is one of the rookies that I am targeting in fantasy football drafts. I have been, and I will be this weekend. On the other side, I'm going to quickly give you two tight ends that I like this year in fantasy that are going a little later than I think they should. So two tight ends. Brad Evans will join the show, his bets for tonight, and his thoughts on fantasy football. And then we'll give you all our bets for tonight, myself, Tyler, Jake, and the crew, as we wrap up shop here on a Wednesday. You better you bet on the BetMGM Network.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas.